Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Panther 3. I am your host, Jacob Langsam.
No.
With me, as always, are my co-hosts, Alex Lopez and TJ Peterson.
Jacob, this is a different podcast today. This is Kane's Celebration Podcast, National Champions D3, second national championship in the school history. Yeah, that's right. Suck it, rest of the world.
I was expecting you to be much more boisterous. And Alex, frankly, I don't think that we need to talk about this.
First of all, this is club.
This is club. Even if we're talking about club D3, D2, University of Florida won the national championship. But forget about club stuff. We got to talk about the important stuff. This is March.
Nobody cares about the Gators. It's all about the U.
This is basketball season. And if we're talking about D3, NYU women's basketball undefeated going into the Final Four tomorrow night, 7:30 against Transylvania. Like, legit, the school is named Transylvania. Number one team in the country. They're going to finish their undefeated season. Going to be national champs on Saturday night. The Violets are going to be relishing in it all. Let's go, girls.
Yeah, I don't care. Go Canes.
And go Violets. Anyway, Florida Panthers.
Wagon.
Yeah, we're fucking around a little bit here because we're honestly running out of unique things to say. This team is so consistently good and has been for such a large portion of this season that I think our content about them is starting to get repetitive. Like, there are only so many ways we can talk about how incredible this team is and how strong they are and how much we expect them to accomplish in the postseason. Like, there are only so many ways we can do that, but like, they're playing in such a way that there's nothing else we can say.
You're preaching to the converted, man.
I mean, they went full cardiac cats against a top five team in the NHL while getting boned by the officials last night.
They were away without their number one defenseman, and they still fucking found a way. Like, how do you beat this team?
Yeah, and it didn't even look that hard.
No, I guess the answer is Samuel Ersin. That is the only consistent way that opposing teams have found to beat the Panthers.
Well, you also need to catch the Panthers on the first game after the All-Star break when, like, people are still hungover, or the fourth game in six nights. Like, I'm not worried about the Flyers. Like, I know I'm detouring off of a minor, but like, the Flyers beating the Panthers twice reminds me of during the Big Three Heat era when it was the Milwaukee Bucks who were a plucky eighth seed and they went like 3-0 against the Heat in the regular season. And like, after the third game, one of the reporters asked Eric Spoelstra, it's like, oh, are you concerned about a possible matchup against the Bucks in the playoffs considering the regular season results? And one of the few times, you know, Spoelstra didn't be Mr. Professional Guy, he just looked at him and went, no. And that's exactly how I feel about the Panthers playing the Flyers in the playoffs. No, not worried. Two random results where there's so many, you know, extenuating circumstances. Like I said, first game after the All-Star break, fourth game in six nights. Like, I do not care. I am not worried about them at all.
Alex, you actually pointed this out to me in such a way that I wanted to expand on it a little bit. I was mentioning how their expected goals for per 60, they are sixth in the league. Their expected goals against per 60, they are fourth in the league. Their expected goals for percentage, they are fourth in the league. But relative to the expected goals for, when you consider that the Panthers lead the league in goal differential, and it's not by a small number either. The Panthers have a plus 65, the third highest goal differential behind the PDO Bender Canucks, is Colorado with plus 48. It's a 17-goal difference. And Alex, you pointed out that despite their insane goal differential and their very good expected goals for per 60, did you guys know that the Panthers are one of the lowest scoring teams in the league at 5-on-5?
Yes, I did.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They are the eighth lowest goals for per 60 at 5 on 5, despite having the, what did I say, sixth highest expected goals for per 60. And it doesn't matter. Sixth
highest expected goals. Yeah. I mean, part of it is, you know, Sam Reinhart is absolutely on a season-long shooting bender of his own, especially on the power play. It's
coming down. It is coming down.
It is coming down, but he's going to hit 50 goals. So that's definitely mitigating some of the five-on-five shooting woes. But, like, you can honestly say the Florida Panthers are the best team in the NHL and they're underperforming. That's not a that is not a wild comment to make.
They're underperforming offensively.
At five-on-five.
The Panthers have what I did here is I calculated the expected goals for Delta and the expected goals against Delta, that simply being goals for minus expected goals for and goals against minus expected goals against. The only team with a worse Delta than the Panthers between their actual goals for per 60 and their expected goals for per 60 is the fucking Sharks, dude. That's it. Like, end of list. But if you flip the script, the only team with a better expected goals against Delta is Winnipeg.
Goaltending.
Winnipeg has a higher PDO to the tune of 0.016.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg has the third highest PDO in the league. The Panthers have the 11th highest PDO in the league. And you, for the record, if you want a sense of realism in your numbers, you want to be in the middle of the pack with PDO, or maybe a little bit above. You maybe want to be a little bit above the middle of the pack in PDO. You don't want to be high in the league in PDO because that's probably not sustainable. Being middle of the pack, slightly above it, is more of like, yeah, this is a good and talented team and also a sustainable number.
Well, I mean, PDO as a stat is becoming less and less respected as the other analytics, you know, become more refined. I mean, people are definitely using XG percentage more than PDO. And I agree with you to an extent. However, the best teams usually have a high PDO. You need to be looking at PDO plus expected goal, Corsi percentage, Fenwick percentage. And if you're in the top in all of them, you're a good team.
Yeah.
If your PDO is sky high and your other numbers are mediocre, fraud alert. So that's where PDO really kind of...
Like, you know, Detroit, who has a 1.01 PDO, which is higher than it sounds, and a 45% expected goal share.
Yeah.
Fraud alert.
Vancouver
does have a 51.8 expected goal share. So, like, not entirely. It's not that they're not playing well, but yeah, 1.034 is a crazy PDO.
I mean, they have kept it up this long, though. So,
oh yeah, I mean, their play has gotten better as their PDO has leveled off, which is typically how these things happen,
right?
But yeah, Detroit fraud alert. I mean, you know, they were riding high. They strung a bunch of wins together to start the 2024 calendar year. You know, they had that big win, the big ref-aided win against the Panthers that had that franchise feeling them, or that fan base feeling themselves. And now they've lost six straight, and they have looked horrible. Like, they're not losing on flukes. They're getting worked. Massive fraud alert with that team. Yeah. Is there anything else we really want to talk about with the Panthers, or is this going to be kind of a Puri episode where we go around the NHL?
I do. There are a couple of things to mention. Most notably, I think we should spend a couple of minutes talking about Tarasenko.
Yes.
Because obviously we talked a lot about having him, but I don't think we've recorded since he started playing.
No, we have not.
He's played. We did. Our trade deadline episode was technically after his first game as a Panther, but like,
okay. Mm-hmm.
His first game as a Panther didn't exist.
Yeah.
We're not counting that because, again, Samuel Ersson. Tarasenko's been really good.
I'm
very pleased. I have to admit, I went on record. I'm not sure I ever said it on the pod, but I definitely said it on Twitter. I didn't think he would be a first line player for the Panthers. I thought he should probably play line two with Tkachuk and Bennett. and either move Verhage back up to the first line or I'll figure something else out. I wasn't sure I trusted Tarasenko on the top line at his age. I take it back, please. I would like to retract all of that. He looked so good. Even in the Philly game when he didn't score, he still looked really good.
Yeah.
And then he popped off against Calgary, and he looked good against Dallas, too.
Yeah, it was technically a four-point performance.
Or yeah.
It should have been a four-point performance, but Mikola didn't hold the line.
Right.
He put up the points, it came off on the attack, on a quarter of an inch offside review, which Buffalo Sabres fans, offside is offside. I don't know why you guys were complaining about a goal that came off the board. Yeah, he's been really good. No notes, 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
The only thing I will
say. Because he wears number 10.
I didn't even do that on purpose. The only thing I will say as a quote unquote negative on Tarasenko is I've noticed him I don't want to say floating, but just kind of naturally ending up on the right side of the ice because that's where he's played his entire career. And he is a left winger now. It's not the end of the world because left wing, right wing, and like in modern hockey, it's kind of positionless in terms of your forwards.
He's F3. You know, side is irrelevant. He's F3 on the top line.
But at the same time, as you don't like, I've noticed a few times that Reinhardt and Tarasenko are both on the right wing in the middle of a breakout or in the neutral zone. And that's kind of how you can get yourself into trouble if there's a turnover. It's not something it's something that's going to take time. Again, this guy has played his entire NHL career on the right wing and is being asked to play on the left wing for the first time in God knows how long, because I doubt he played left wing when he was playing in the KHL or anything else either, because all these Russian snipers, they've always played on their off wing. For those who don't know, the reason why snipers like to play on their off wing is when they're carrying the puck up the ice, it's an easy cut towards the middle, and then you can shoot the puck. When you're coming on your correct wing, you have less of an angle to shoot. Therefore, snipers like to play on their off wing.
There's a reason Alex Ovechkin's spot is the left circle, despite being a right shot.
Correct.
You have more of the net to comfortably shoot at.
Yeah, not even despite. It's like because he's a right shot.
Right.
Right.
That said, on the flip side, it's easier for playmakers to play on the side of their handedness because they have more of the ice to pass to on their forehand that way. The NHL is fun. Hockey's a fun sport. Yeah. I'm really happy with Tarasenko. Yeah. I mean, that's really all I have to say about him. I'm very pleased so far. Small sample size. Obviously it's still only 3 games, but he's looked so good.
Yeah. There's really nothing much to worry about with this team. At this roster.
Seriously. What can we talk about them patching up before the playoffs?
Ekblad's knee.
Yeah, but that'll just happen.
It's not so bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And even so, I don't care. Even if it's not so bad, fucking hold him out for the rest of the regular season. I don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like the last 2 or 3 games to get his legs back underneath him, but I don't care.
Yeah, the only thing you care about is if it's something where he's going to have to manage it through the playoffs, which it doesn't. We don't know for sure, but it doesn't. Like the way they're talking, it doesn't seem like that's the case with this. It's like, hey, we're hold him out to be to make sure, and then putting him back in there. Same thing with Evan Rodriguez, because again, that's what you're trying to avoid is injuries that are going to linger into where it's pain management in the playoffs. Like you saw the Panthers in the Stanley Cup final last year, where it was. Everyone was managing injuries. You don't want that. You want guys healthy.
Right. And I think the timetable on Ekblad is such that he genuinely might not play again in the regular season.
I mean, they said 2 weeks. There's more than 2 weeks left in the regular season.
Not by much, though, right? I mean, we're mid-March right now, and the season ends, we're a month out? 3 or 4 weeks out?
Yeah, we got till mid-April.
Okay, so the regular season's gone a little bit later than I guess I'm used to.
Yeah, it started later and it's ending later.
Yeah, so fuck it. Hold him out until the last, I don't know, week or two of the season.
Oh, yeah, it's...
And then just let him recoup his sea legs and good to go for the playoffs. Like, I tweeted this, and like this should literally be the only focus for this team for the remainder of the regular season. For example, if Sasha Barkov wakes up with a crick in his neck, he doesn't play that day.
Hangnail. Doesn't even hangnail.
Doesn't matter.
Tummy ache.
Don't play. Don't play.
Completely fine. How about some load management?
I mean, I don't disagree with
TJ. A little sleepy? Don't play him.
I don't disagree with TJ. They have a couple of back-to-backs left in the season. I would be sitting guys.
Yeah.
You don't care. The only thing you care about is maintaining this level of play
right
to the end of the season.
Which you're going to do best if you're fully healthy.
Right. Like, and you're not going to do that. Like, if you, like, I wouldn't be giving guys like a week off. But again,
right,
back to backs, you're playing 3 games in 4 nights. That middle game, you should be sitting some guys.
Yeah. Work Jonah Gadget back in the lineup every now and then. Call up Lockwood or Sam Miscavige, work them into the lineup every now and then.
Your bottom of the lineup should all be getting in. Steven Lorenz. Jonah Gadjevich.
Oh, yeah, Lorenz. I forgot about him.
Josh Mahura, Tobias Bjornfoot. All of those guys should be in the lineup throughout the rest of the season. Like, one, you know, in case you need them in the playoffs, you want them to have some game, you know, some game experience under their feet. But, like, again, those back-to-backs, like Barkov, who's logged a lot of minutes, give him a night off. Matthew Tkachuk, who's taken some big hits recently, give him a night off. You know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, he is 32 years old. Kulikov is 33 years old. Give those guys nights off.
Right now, the magic number to clinch. The bottom three teams in the conference are Tampa, the Islanders, and Detroit. Tampa and the Islanders, if they win out, both end up with 108. If Detroit wins out, they finish with 106. The Panthers have 94. As far as I'm concerned, the Panthers only need to win 2 more games to basically be assured a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Their magic number is 12. They're 12 points away from fully clinching a spot, and that's if Detroit wins out.
Yeah. More years than not, 96 points gets you into the playoffs, and then
that's why I said 2 more wins.
Yeah.
Just to get over that hump.
Right. But like, yeah.
Maybe 3 more wins because there was that one Bob Bugner year where they missed with 98, but.
No, it was 96 they finished with.
Are you sure?
Positive. Because I remember, you know, 96 is the number every bubble team strives for. And I remember the Panthers hit 96 and lost, missed out by a point. Either way, wagon. Kyle Okposo, fine in his debut.
Not particularly noticeable, but like, he's a fourth liner. He's not gonna light the world on fire as long as he doesn't. Exactly.
He's not a fourth liner. He's a fourth liner on this team, though.
Right.
Right. That's what I mean.
I'm
looking at him from the perspective of what he's gonna do for us.
Like George said during Panther Pre-Express and the podcast he came on with, these depth acquisitions are so in the playoffs when the injuries do hit, you're not putting Zach Dalpe into the lineup. You're not putting, you know, Grigory Denisenko into a Stanley Cup Finals game.
Like, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, exactly. But like,
we never had Mikhail Grigorenko. What are you talking about?
But that's why you get a Kyle Okposo. I mean, Bjornfoot's not that kind of acquisition, but you know, he's someone that has some promise, so I get why they brought him in. But like,
I want to see him play this season.
I do too. I'm just saying the Panthers have the depth in the playoffs where if injuries happen at forward or in defense, you're not bringing career AHLers into the lineup.
If you guys remember back when we were talking about what makes sense to do at the trade deadline, I made the point that what they need is talent up front because the system is creating what they're doing.
Yeah.
From the back, you know, in terms of defensively, that they bought into that for sure.
Yeah. Oh,
because they did
that,
not.
That was clear from the moment that Vladimir Tarasenko showed up.
Yeah. And I mean, look at the game last night, too. Who scored the goals? Power play. And I think Tkachuk was on the ice for all 4 of them. So power play and Tkachuk line. That was it.
Speaking of, one other thing we do need to discuss is Sasha Barkov, the goal phantom.
Yes, he keeps stealing Carter Verhaeghe's goals.
Oh,
and Matthew Tkachuk, like Alexander Barkov has become the king of being credited with goals that you would have sworn someone else scored.
Well,
it's happened like four times in the last couple of weeks.
On the game winner, you knew.
And twice yesterday.
Well, on the game winner, you knew because immediately as that puck went in, Tkachuk pointed at Barkov because he knew he never touched
it. I thought he was pointing at him for the pass.
No, he was pointing at Barkov like, yeah, he was pointing at Barkov.
The way
like,
I saw it was because every single Stars defenseman was looking at Barkov. Ottinger was looking at, like, everyone was thinking Barkov was shooting. And then Barkov, like, saw Tkachuk on the back door and threw it in front of the net. So, like, what I saw in that moment was Barkov making a beautiful read on the defense, throwing the puck back door to Tkachuk. The puck basically just riding Kachuk's stick blade into the net, and then Tkachuk pointing at Barkov for that beautiful pass. That's what I saw.
Well, that was the intent. It's just the pass didn't get through and ended up where right. It was going regardless.
And he has also stolen two Carter Verhaeghe goals with beautiful tips. Extremely unnoticeable tips until you watch them on slow motion replay. Like, Sam Bennett has had a couple of gorgeous tips, but they've been clear and obvious.
Yes.
Barkov has literally stolen two goals from Carter Verhaeghe on these undetectable deflections. It's ridiculous the things that Barkov has been doing. He's been so fucking good for the last few weeks, and not just on the goals front, obviously, but like, it's definitely worth pointing out that he's, whether it's on purpose or not, he's been finding the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, he's been like snake bitten goal scoring wise going on two seasons now, so
yeah.
He was due to, you know, get a few cheapies, especially because he refuses to score on an empty net.
Yeah. I was going to say that's a different form of regression to the mean, Barkov's shooting percentage. He's now at 11 on the season with 18 goals. Yeah. 11%, which is low for him. He's like a career 14% shooter.
Right. And in his best seasons, he was like 16 to 18%. New York Islanders. Do we want to talk about them?
Nah, fuck them.
Barry, they're also frauds, though, by the way.
When did they snap that winning streak? Was that last night or was it the
last
night?
It was yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. 7-game win streak, though, to leapfrog Detroit and get into that second wild
card. Yeah, actually,
but also they're frauds.
We need to talk about Detroit. That's who we need to talk about.
I mean,
the lead story here is that Detroit had a fight in practice today.
Oh, yes.
Ben Sherratt and Lucas Raymond. Yeah.
This was like a scrum also. It wasn't like the Bortuzzo and Zach Sanford. I think it was Zach Sanford.
It was Zach Sanford.
In St. Louis that one year. This was like a full-on scrum, like five people involved, maybe more. I mean, things are really, really going badly for them. They beat the Capitals 8-3 on February 27th, and since then, they've lost 6 games in a row. And in every single one of those games, they've given up at least 4 goals. 2 of them, they've given up 5. Two of them, they've given up 7.
Yeah, it's almost like they were fraudulent from the start. And anyone who was talking about Yzerman for GM of the year or blah, 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 is an idiot. Like, that team is not good.
No.
They're so very fraudulent.
It's also worth noting while we're talking about this specific subject. We need to talk about the Sabres. They're a little bit more of a long shot, but they just stomped Detroit. And their next couple of games are against the Islanders and Detroit again.
Yeah.
They're only 5 points back of a playoff spot, and they play 2 of the teams ahead of them this week.
Here's the problem with Buffalo. Look at their games played.
Yeah.
I know. Buffalo, but again, they're playing the teams ahead of them. They're playing the teams that they're chasing.
Yeah,
the but those teams are in the playoff spot.
Yeah, they are.
Detroit and the Islanders are.
The Islanders are. And
the Islanders aren't.
Detroit. No. Yes, they. The Islanders.
Oh, the Islanders are. Detroit is not. Sorry.
Yeah. But like, it's kind of a logjam there between Tampa, Detroit, and the Islanders. They're all within 2 points of each other, with I think the Islanders being the team with one fewer game than the other two.
And meanwhile, with a minus 27 goal differential, please kill us. Somebody please take us out. We even sold at the deadline and still somehow in this race with 69 points, nice, in 63 games, is the Washington Capitals.
Against whom Buffalo also has two more games this season. Okay, hold on. Let's take a quick look here. Buffalo's remaining schedule for the season includes...
Don't talk yourself into this. You're just going to get hurt.
I'm not talking myself into this as a I want Buffalo to make the playoffs point. I'm talking myself into it as I want Tampa to miss and I'm losing faith in Detroit to be the one that bumps them.
Well, don't
someone count needs Buffalo. To bump them. But
it's got to be the Islanders.
No, but that doesn't matter because the Islanders are currently in a playoff spot. I need someone to overtake the Lightning's playoff spot. And now that's poised to be Detroit, if anyone.
I mean, it could be Washington.
It's not going to be Washington.
Yeah.
They play the Islanders, they play the Red Wings. Then they kind of go on a little West Coast tear. But then they play Washington, Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington again. And then they're... Oh, my God. Guys?
Yeah.
What?
Final game of the regular season for Buffalo?
Against Tampa.
In Tampa. Please, please, God. Please, God. In Tampa? Are you kidding me? Buffalo just like goes off a little bit. I just need them to go off a little.
They need to go off a lot.
They can go into Amelie and just ruin the Lightning.
All right. So
Buffalo needs
go ahead.
Buffalo needs to go like 15-1 to get to 97 points.
Their maximum points is 99.
Right.
The Lightning have
I believe in them.
The Lightning have 19 games left. No, wait, that's terrible.
The Lightning have 17,
they have 17 games left. They have 74 points. So if they get a point per game, which they're going to probably do better than that, that would get them to 91. So let's say they get to 95. That seems like a reasonable number that they're going to hit. That would mean that the Sabres need to get 28 points in their final 16 games.
It's not happening.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's not impossible for me and, you know, any Victoria's Secret supermodel to get married.
Yes, it is. It is. They also play Seattle, who is not in a good playoff spot or not in a good spot. They play Calgary, who's not in a good spot. They play Ottawa, who suck. They play the Devils, who are imploding. They play Toronto, who suck. I mean, like... There is a very clear avenue. The trouble here is that there's one guaranteed loss on Buffalo's
schedule. Well, there's a very clear avenue for every team. If they win the last 16, 17 games
Buffalo
of their season,
actually
they'll make the playoffs.
Buffalo teams that are beatable, except they're in Sunrise in their second to last game of the season. And, like, no.
Well, the Panthers might be resting everybody.
That's true.
Maybe, like, what's his name? Magnus Hellberg will be in goal.
That's a good point, TJ. I'm talking myself into this.
Our old buddy
Chandra, I'm calling for you, man. I'm on your side here.
You're gonna get hurt. You're just gonna get hurt.
I'm not gonna get hurt because I'm like not putting any real emotional weight into this. It's more the comedy of Buffalo in Tampa for the last game of the season with the chance of Buffalo capping off a ridiculous last month by knocking Tampa out of a playoff spot.
Just for Buffalo's playoff chances to get above 50%, they need to go finish the season 12-3-1.
I believe.
I don't think that would put them above 50%, honestly.
Sports Club stats, which goes by record, like it literally gives you every single record. If they go 12-3-1, they finish with 92 points, and it's a 65.3% chance to get in.
Meanwhile, Washington plays Toronto, Carolina, Winnipeg, Toronto again, Boston, Carolina again, Tampa, Boston. Like, Washington does not have an easy end to the season. So I'm not holding out hope that Washington can be the team that knocks Tampa off.
Yeah, and Washington's in a game right now against Connor McDavid, so not looking good.
So Buffalo, because I refuse to allow myself to – no, I don't – because I would rather you do it than the Red Wings. That's really what I should say. Please just go off to end the season and have the one, your one regulation loss remaining be in Sunrise.
But it has to be said, 5 points out, no games in hand, like negative games in hand.
Yeah,
it's bleak.
Games out of hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not like actually hopeful that Buffalo can be the team that knocks Tampa out of a playoff spot, but God, it would be funny.
But I'm just, you know, tying it into the Panthers and making the reference people understand. The Panthers for years were known for 5 points out at the deadline with two games in hand, and you can just never get over the hump because 5 points in 16 games is very, very tough to make up.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Buffalo does have a better expected goal share than Tampa at 5-on-5.
I mean, it's not really that surprising. Like,
no, because Tampa's trash and they don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Look, I'll take it if we get to play that like shell of a team in the first round. And if, it's going to be very funny if Tampa ends up winning just because, like, you won't know at what point you could do to break the voodoo. But I think that would be a pretty quick series in the Panthers' favor.
The top eight teams by expected goal share, Carolina, Florida, and in the East, are Carolina, Florida, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Boston, and the Islanders.
They laughed at me when I said that Philadelphia was better than Ottawa. They laughed at me.
I mean, God, everyone's better
Rangers,
than
Ottawa. Buffalo has a higher expected goal share than the Rangers.
I mean, the Rangers have always been Igor and power play, and the 5-on-5 is optional.
Yeah, Buffalo's power play is pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's a problem.
The Rangers had the ninth highest team save percentage.
Wouldn't mind going to Buffalo, though, for a playoff game. I'm sure that it would be fun. I don't see it happening, as we've discussed in depth, but would be fun. Anyway, I want to talk about Seattle.
Panthers are fucking 12 points up on Toronto. Sorry, go ahead. I was watching
Seattle and Vegas last night. You guys might have seen the clip. 19 seconds left. Vegas has got a one-goal lead. They're trying to clear the puck. It gets knocked down, thrown in front, and basically bounces perfectly for Marchessault to be able to one-time it into an empty net, basically. And Vegas goes on to win the game, and all of a sudden, instead of being let's see how many points they would have
been.
They're
currently 9 points out.
Yeah, they would have been 6 points out with the game in hand, which is, you know, that's in the Panther zone, but we could talk ourselves into maybe Seattle will catch the Knights without Stone. Who else are they missing right now? They don't have Stone.
Isn't Mantha still hurt?
I think so, yeah.
Mantha's hurt. Martinez is hurt.
Hurdle, not playing.
Hurdle.
He's hurt. Oh.
I don't see Vegas missing. I think Vegas is just they're too far up on the next closest team. They have a game in hand on Minnesota also.
Yeah. I don't see them missing.
I could see them not making the finals, but I don't see them missing.
It depends if Mark Stone is all of a sudden available for game one. And speaking of which, I mean, and George was saying, oh, nothing's ever going to happen. According to American Freeman on 32 Thoughts from Monday, GMs are starting to get annoyed. And they're saying if Stone can't play in game 82, but all of a sudden is ready for game 81, people are going to be upset. And I don't blame them. But there's an easy way to do this. I've said it 1,000 times. You're to be on the playoff roster, you must be cap compliant for game one of the playoffs. After that, you can call up anyone you want as long as they make under $1 million AAV. You can still call up guys in injury, and you can't end up $30 million over the cap. It's such an easy fix.
Spencer Knight had a shutout in Charlotte tonight. So
That's good.
Sorry, just saw that.
Real quick Spencer Knight thing. A lot of people, like the Panthers, I don't even know who it was, but they signed some goalie to – you know, go to Charlotte, and they had to waive and get him through waivers. They also
Evan Cormier,
and they also
Cormier went down to the Everblades,
but they still signed.
Yeah, because of the acquisition of Helberg. Yeah. But like the Cormier acquisition.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I think I know where Alex is going, but I'll just let him continue.
It's essentially paving the way for when the playoffs start. Spencer Knight to come up and be the number three for the Florida Panthers and be the emergency goalie. I know you'd probably rather him be getting
AHL playoff time.
However, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, Bob and Stolarz get injured in the same game, and you're put and you had Spencer Knight just sitting in Charlotte.
You aren't going to be able to put him into that game, though, right?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay, so that's different now.
The playoff rules change that you are allowed to play your emergency goalie, regardless of who it is, as long as like he's your stated emergency goalie. The other two are just out for the game if that happens, and it has to be injury. You can't just say, "Oh, we're going to our third guy."
How does the AHL playoff picture shake out?
I honestly have.
It's much more forgiving. So Charlotte's going to make it because it's hard to miss.
Charlotte's in fifth in their division. Just so everyone's aware.
Yeah, top six of divisions make it. Except for I think one of the divisions only five make it, but it's not theirs.
That would be weird. 11 teams per conference.
Yeah, but it's like a play-in round. It's all like divisional. It stays within the divisions. Until like you get one team, which is like the NHL, but they each have their own kinks, and it's all like geography related because they don't fly.
It's all set up to get these guys as much revenue as you can when you call it playoffs.
Fair,
yeah. So right now they're gonna make it. Like it would take a big time fall off for them to get into seventh.
Yeah.
But they might quickly exit because. Right now, the opening round series works in that it's three games, and I think you get the lower seed gets to host first one, and then the second two are at the higher seed. So they could very easily be done in two or three games, and then all of a sudden you don't have to worry about this playoff stuff. But I do think the AHL regular season is slightly longer.
Yeah, it's not a situation where the first round is done, like the first round of the AHL playoffs are done by the time the Panthers' regular season ends.
Yeah, the last regular season game for the Checkers is, this does go like, it's on April 21st.
Yeah, and the NHL regular season ends April 18th.
Yeah, that's wild.
Did we mention the Panthers are a wagon? I don't care about the President's Cup trophy curse. I just want I don't want them to go for it.
Hey, but there is no such thing as the President's Trophy curse. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
I would agree.
No seed beats the field, but first overall seed in the NHL historically is still the most likely seed to win the Stanley Cup. The President's Trophy winner still has more Stanley Cups than any other individual seed. You don't bet President's Trophy versus the field, but as if you're looking at each seed individually and how many Stanley Cups each seed has, President's Trophy winner has the most cups. There is no curse.
Yeah. Completely agree. Either way, I'm just saying I don't care about it, but I don't want them to, like, I don't care don't about winning it. I don't want them to chase it, but I want them to maintain this standard of play throughout the regular rest of the season, because like I've said pretty much every podcast since December, since like December 1st, they have been the most consistent team in the NHL, and it's not close. Like even their losing streaks that were fluky. Like they could easily be another 10 plus points up in the standings if some of those fluky, you know, four game losing streaks in late December didn't happen.
Yeah, the game where they went 1-for-7 on the power play or whatever, not power play, penalty kill.
Yeah, the Wild game.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which is the last time the Panthers lost by more than a goal.
Wow.
That was also one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen.
And it was one of the worst penalty killing games I've ever seen.
Oh, definitely one of the worst penalty killing games I've ever seen.
There is one other thing we need to discuss.
Let's do it.
The Panthers have added a new player into their system, signed to an ECHL contract by the Florida Everblades.
Oh,
please, yes. Please welcome Mr. Josh Hosang to the organization.
Hip-hop artist extraordinaire.
He did just release a hip-hop album It's not bad. I listened to it during work today, just in my headphones. It's not bad.
Please tell me there is a verse where he mentions his name and says there is no war in Ba Sing Se.
I don't think there was.
Really? All I got were crickets on that. Nothing.
I mean, I get it. I don't think there was.
But yeah, I mean, good for him making a comeback. Is it Stephen Comfer? He's also making a comeback.
Yeah.
Or Corey Conacher. Yeah. Corey Conacher's making
a comeback. Corey Conacher's the one.
Well, which one? Those are two different players.
It's neither of them. It's Cody
GT
Hodgson.
GT Comfer.
Cody Hodgson? Is that the guy? He's like back in professional hockey after like a decade or something like that.
Yeah, when he had some sort of like severe illness or injury or something like that. That
was kept a crazy story.
Good for him to be back. But yeah, good for Josh Hosang getting back into the, you know, professional hockey. You know, that guy took so much undeserved shit for wearing 66. Like just completely unfair. And yeah, good for him. Hopefully he has a good run with the Florida Everblades.
Hopefully it's good enough that he can make his way all the way up to an NHL contract with the Panthers. I love Josh Hosang.
Well,
for two reasons in particular. One, he's Jewish. Two, he had the balls to try to wear number 66.
That's what I just said. I don't think it was a big deal that he wore 66. He didn't do it in Pittsburgh. He did it somewhere else.
I agree. And that's why I thought the outrage was absurd. Ridiculous. And I love that he stood his ground on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially because he did it because Mario Lemieux was his favorite player. Like, I wore 34 because of my favorite player. You're going to tell me I can't wear it because...
I think there's a difference there because, like, 66 is a super uncommon number, and it's very closely associated with Lemieux. Every fucking goalie in the world wears 34.
Disagree.
It's a really common goalie number.
I mean, it is because goalies were commonly in the 30s, but still, like, I'm just saying, like, when you're wearing a number to, you know, honor your idol, like,
yeah,
who cares? Like, as long as you're not doing it in the team he played for because the number is retired or it's one of those, like, retired but not retired numbers, like, who cares?
So I hope Josh Hosang just goes off. It would be so fun if the Panthers sign him to an NHL contract. Like, he just rips the ECHL apart, gets an AHL contract out of it, rips the AHL apart, and Josh Hosang joins the Panthers for a playoff run. I know the timeline is such that that is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
But it would be fun.
Also, I don't think he's eligible for the playoffs because he was not on the roster before the deadline.
Good point.
Because he's technically not Florida Panthers property. He's on an ECHL deal.
Right. Also, that was after the deadline anyway. So
even if
he had signed with the Panthers today, wouldn't have helped.
So watch out for Josh Hosang to be really good in training camp next season and get an NHL contract with the Panthers.
I see it happening. You know, I'm going to predict it now.
I would genuinely love that. I really like Hosang.
Of course.
I always have.
I have a signed photo of Josh Hosang. That is not a joke. I do. It's probably in storage though.
But why?
Because it was given to me by a friend that, had Islander season tickets at one point.
I credit Josh Hosang with the player who eventually led me to the realization that the Bridgeport Sound Tigers name was the Bridgeport Sound Tigers and not the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. That is a real thing that I thought for a while.
I mean,
for years, I was like, why is the Islanders AHL team called the Sound Tigers? I don't get it. What's a Sound Tiger? And it's never,
both.
Like, I was just like, okay, whatever. That's just what they're called. And eventually, through paying attention to Josh Hosang, I was like, oh, it's the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. And I'm stupid.
I mean, considering what minor league baseball has done with team names, it's certainly possible to call a team the Sound Tigers.
But in my head, I was like so not really questioning what a Sound Tiger was. It was more like, that's a funny name. And never once considering Bridgeport Sound. Hosang's last pro season, by the way, at least his last pro North American season was 21-22 with the Toronto Marlies. He had 35 points in 47 games. which, like, not bad for an AHL player. Like, that's not a bad AHL season.
No. Probably fine, yeah.
It, I mean, it's not one that's going to get you a call up just because. It's the type of season that probably gets you the first call up if someone gets injured. And he's only gotten older, but we'll see what happens.
I think I know what happens, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, no I also what. Think I know what happens, but I'm hopeful because he's Jewish and I love that.
All right. We got anything else?
Is Avatar good?
Yes. Have we talked about
it's very good.
I've heard so the opposite.
It's whining for no reason. It's whining for no reason. Look, I will preface this by saying I did not watch Avatar as a child. The Avatar The Last Airbender we're talking about, guys.
Yes.
I did not watch the cartoon as a child. I was too old for when it came out. I watched it when COVID hit and it was put on Netflix, and yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
It is.
So right. If you haven't seen the cartoon, doesn't matter how old you are, go watch it. It is fantastic. So I am not looking at its port over to live action with that childhood nostalgia factor to it. I'm looking at it as simply, is this as enjoyable as the cartoon? The answer to that is no, because one, the cartoon had more time. And it was also like anytime you have a fantasy show, fantasy honestly does better in cartoon because you can just do more.
Yep.
Because you don't need CGI and actors. Like it's all animation.
It's a lot easier to suspend your disbelief when you're looking at animation than it is when you're looking at real people.
There's a reason the Star Wars Clone Wars cartoon show is so beloved, because you can see the force being used in ways you just can't do. Yep. And it just doesn't look as realistic on live TV. Back on topic to Avatar. So what, I mean, there was a whole lot of issues with it. Like the Netflix, the Nickelodeon show, the cartoon showrunners were originally part of the live action. They left in the middle of production. That caused
because they disagreed with the direction that Netflix was taking the show, and it didn't match their original vision of the original series. And they watered down the characters' personalities.
That I would disagree. One, for the first episode is pretty much a shot-for-shot remake of the pilot. You know, the new one, the live action compared to the cartoon, it's almost shot-for-shot. There are some things that did change. Like, you know, season one Aang in the cartoon is more about playing and you know, I just want to go have fun. I'm trying to
ignore his responsibility as the Avatar because he's still a 12-year-old child in his brain, rather than being a 12-year-old child in his brain who, like, feels this great call of duty and responsibility that he needs to be the Avatar and go save the, like, they totally, well, from what I understand, they totally changed Aang's character but in that way.
They changed it in the sense that he's not as fun-loving as he was in the TV show, in which the is cartoon.
Maybe the most important piece of his character in season one.
I don't disagree. Let me tell you how they changed it without
ruining the show. I also just feel like I need to add in, I have not yet watched the live-action Netflix Avatar The Last Airbender, so this is all conjecture on my part.
And
I've heard and read.
I will tell you, you are falling victim to the same type of people who shit on everything new Star Wars that comes out because it's not as good as the original, blah, blah, blah.
So the reason I disagree with that is a lot of the creators that I'm deriving these opinions from are people who I generally agree with on other media.
I don't know what you're watching. I'm just telling you my opinion from someone who's watching it. And like I said, let me get back to what I was trying to say. So what they did was, instead of Aang just being a playful child that's like trying to ignore his responsibility, it's basically he's a 12-year-old.
Also, the crux of his character arc.
I agree, and it was something I was very concerned with when I heard the same thing. But watching it play out, and now I am not done with season one because being a parent of two children and whatnot is hard. I don't have much time for TV. But so instead of being, you know, carefree, it's a 12-year-old dealing with the overwhelming weight of being told you have to save the world and not knowing how or what to do. So the dilemma is still there. They've just changed how he's dealing. He's not sitting there saying, oh, I'm 12. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. It's, oh, shit. I'm 12. I have to do this. Holy fuck, I'm shitting my pants. So it's done differently, but it's still the same crux, if that makes sense. It's still, you're going to the same place. They're just going about it a little differently, putting a little bit more weight on it to make it more appealing to adults. So I understand why they made that change to the character. Would I have preferred what they did in the cartoon? Absolutely. But I also understand that this is a show that is trying to appeal to people who never watched the cartoon, as well as the people who did. So the change isn't that bad. So for all of you who haven't watched the live action because of what you're reading on the internet, make the decision for yourself. It's 10 episodes, 10 hours. It's not that big of a commitment. And it's honestly very good. Is it the same? No. But you know what? If it was a shot-for-shot remake, everyone would be complaining that they didn't take any chances. So, and another thing. Every storyline is there. Like, they... I'm blanking on the name of... What's the Earth City they go to where he goes and finds his friend from... Yeah, he goes to Omashu. The storyline is very, very similar to what it was in the cartoon. Like I said, it's a little darker, a little bit edgier. But like, he goes to Omashu, he finds his friend from 100 years ago, whose name I'm blanking on. Boomy. He sees Boomy. He does the trials of Boomy.
After which he also eventually names his son. Let some Legend of Korra love for you all.
I have yet to see Legend of Korra. I need to.
It's quite good.
I've heard.
It's unfairly maligned because it was rushed at the end because Nickelodeon was like, we're just not going to renew this, even though you were expecting one more season. So have fun trying to wrap up your entire story.
Yeah, it's not anything like that. I just haven't gotten to it yet. I need to. Yeah. But yeah, like he goes to Omashu. The machinist is there. That storyline is there. Jet is there. I mean, they combine that with the Omashu storyline. Like,
I haven't seen it, but like that feels like such an interesting decision. Because, like, how do you do Jet's, the point of Jet's existence, without having it be a Fire Nation village?
Because the Fire Nation is without spoiling anything, they basically put the Fire Nation in Omashu.
So the Omashu storyline isn't the same because they're basically skipping ahead to something that didn't happen until book two of the original cartoon.
Remind me.
The Fire Nation, Omashu was considered an untouchable city. There was zero Fire Nation presence in Omashu in season one.
Okay.
And then so in season two, Azula, Mei, and Ty Lee were like, hi, we're teenage girls and we're here to take over your city. And we're calling it New Ozai now.
No, that's not what they do. It's more of like...
It's what they do in the original cartoon.
Right, but I'm saying that's not what they did in the live action. It was more like, oh, hey, like there's a very small Fire Nation presence where it's like they're just kind of committing terrorist attacks and trying to stir shit up in Omashu. It's again, they're, you know, they don't have 20-episode seasons. They got 10 hours. So they had to combine some things. But again, like, the whole Jet's existence and everything, like, they got it all right. They just had to do it a little differently. And I know a lot of you have checked out on this podcast, except for nerds like us. I'm positive
that, like,
no. I checked out of this podcast and I'm hosting it.
No one's listening anymore.
what's his name? Josh, who always checks out when we start talking about the
Josh Appel. Yeah.
Josh Appel.
How dare you forget his name?
By the way, congrats on buying your house, Josh. Really happy for you.
He's not going to hear that. So
I don't remember your name, but I remember your life achievements.
But yeah, like, I don't care. This is my podcast, and I'm going to nerd out every once in a while with Jacob and TJ.
let's bring it back to hockey for a quick moment, unless you want to.
Excuse me. How dare you?
Is there any other?
You think we're done here?
Are there any other Avatar questions you've got for me to convince you to try the show?
No, but I do want to very quickly interject that everyone needs to watch Has Been Hotel if you have Amazon Prime.
No idea what that is.
Incredible show. Pilot was originally on YouTube in 2019. It was picked up by A24. I believe it's their first ever animated piece of work. Lucifer's daughter dreams of a world in which she can rehabilitate the sinners of hell and get them into heaven is the very, very simple synopsis. It's a musical comedy, and I love it. 8 episodes, 24 minutes ish each. Very bingeable. The soundtrack is phenomenal. I've been listening to it on loop for the last like week and a half.
All right, I'll check it out. TJ, what did you want to get us on topic with?
Just shout out to Bruno. Predators, 13 game point streak. They beat the Jets. They're going to make the playoffs. They bought at the deadline. He did it again. I was thinking about it this morning. He goes to the Devils after they miss the playoffs. They make the playoffs. He leaves the Devils. They're going to miss the playoffs this year, but he's not going to miss the playoffs. No, no, no. So this will be the third straight year that Bruno's in the playoffs. And I know last year he wasn't a head coach, but I mean,
yeah,
look, he's gone from the team that made the playoffs and they're going to miss. So, you know,
yeah, coincidentally, they've gotten some of the worst goaltending in the NHL, but you know,
well, he was coaching those goalies up. I'll tell you that much. We can definitely tell that.
My favorite part about Nashville's current 13 game point streak and spot in currently wild card one in the West is juxtaposing that with what TJ said about them prior to the deadline, which was that they should sell because they're not going to make the playoffs.
I mean, I still think they should have sold Saros and moved on to Askarov. I say that for fantasy hockey purposes only.
I didn't say that they should sell because they're going to miss the playoffs. I said that they should sell because they aren't going to do anything in the playoffs.
You don't know that.
Yeah, you got UC Saros.
TJ, didn't you say that about the Panthers last season?
I did. What happened? Point, did they win the Stanley
point
Cup?
Point proven.
Did they win
I'm
the
sorry.
Cup?
Answer
did
me.
Jake,
did they not get three rounds further than you thought
did
they would?
Did they win the Cup?
Is that the demarcation point for
yes,
not doing
Jay?
Anything?
Yes.
No, it's not. You're moving the fucking goalposts. Don't even try. You're moving the goalposts.
There's one goal this year. There's one goal every year, frankly. Win the Cup or don't. It's
how
binary.
Many rounds did you think the Panthers were going to win last year?
Jake, that's irrelevant.
No, it isn't. They didn't no, it isn't cup. Because that's closer to the situation Nashville is in currently.
Why aren't you letting me do my bit?
Because fuck you. My bit is always making you admit that you're wrong.
Sometimes TJ sounded very much like a hockey man right now. Speaking of hockey men,
I've been
we
hosting
didn't talk
this podcast for 8 years. Am I not a hockey man at this point?
No, you're not.
7.5, to be completely accurate.
Well, we're about a month away from we're about 3
no,
months
no,
away.
No, we started
we're
pre-season
3 months away
2016-17
from wrapping our 8th season.
That's correct.
Yeah, but we are like 48 hours past like one of our first episodes where the whole world shut down, and I remember TJ and I having a very serious podcast about that, and look at us now. But no,
I don't remember that.
You weren't on that. You didn't record that episode with us.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was like one of the first.
Where
ones
the fuck would I have been? Actually, I guess
hiding from COVID.
In my apartment where my microphone and camera were. If you recorded that on March 12th of 2020, then I was at the Adrian R. Center seeing Hamilton.
No, I doubt you were because this was literally like the day the whole world shut down. Like
then,
NBA, yeah,
okay. The NBA and everything. Yeah,
I was in Boston.
Then where the hell was I?
I don't know.
That makes no sense. I wouldn't have been anywhere but in my apartment.
Yeah, we recorded in the afternoon. We'll go find this. I mean, maybe you were at Hamilton and you were like the last showing.
I believe my show was the last show of Hamilton.
Then that might have been it.
Run, but it was March 12th. Like I'm almost positive of that date.
Then you might have been at the show and like, yeah, the whole world was shutting down while you were in this show. Okay. Back on topic. Matt Rempe catching his second ejection and first suspension in his very short NHL career for a blatant chicken wing elbow. Sources tell me that chicken wing elbow, that dirty hit, that disgusting hit that could have caused a concussion, would never have happened if the Devils had an enforcer on the ice, especially Curtis McDermott, who they had just traded for. because enforcers prevent other enforcers from making dirty hits. Oh, wait. McDermott was on the ice for that hit. So what's your argument now, hockey morons?
Enforcers something, don't stop something shit. Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
Just
enforcers
to,
don't stop shit.
Just to go back to something here. Obviously, this is like 4 years past at this point and doesn't matter. Our center says guest at March 12th Hamilton show tested positive for COVID-19. So I was exposed to COVID when I saw Hamilton. Because Thursday, March 12th was the day that I saw it. And it was the final performance of Hamilton that week. And the Arch Center shut down the next day.
Yeah. So we were recording all worried about COVID while you were, you know, enjoying one of the greatest musical plays of our time.
And it was the final showing of that musical at that theater for two or three more years. And I'm very glad that I saw it.
Hot take, because I saw it like 3 days before you did. The guy who played King George, I thought was better than the one that was the original.
You're wrong.
Whoa.
Jonathan Groff is one of the best parts of the original cast.
Oh, I don't disagree. He was fantastic. I just really loved the King George we got and the way he sang compared, like the way he kind of changed his tone. Like he just had like this like sinisterness to his tone that like wasn't in the original. Where I just preferred it, but they were both the stars of the show, in my opinion, in both performances.
Okay, fair. You are entitled to that opinion. I have nothing else to say on the matter. I should go back and listen to that episode just for the dichotomy of what you guys were talking about while I was having fun at Hamilton.
Yeah.
Because I was supposed to be in Charlotte for work. And that trip got canceled, and my reaction was, oh, cool, I can go see Hamilton now.
Yeah, we were also very naive to COVID.
That was the last thing I did before holing up in my apartment for 2 years.
Yeah, I went from planning a trip to Tokyo to having a kid.
That's different.
Yeah, pretty different.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we really need to land.
Oh, sick. I didn't finish my Dr. Pepper.
Rate us 5 stars on some play rating website or Netflix.
Rate us 5 stars. There is no 5-star rating in Bossing Say.
There is no 5-star rating in Bossing Say.
Good night, everyone. Go Panthers.